Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. With Israeli attacks on Syria, on Iran, and on Lebanon in recent days, and a few counterstrikes, the hot Jewish war on everyone is ramping up. There are some advantages to having a hot Jewish war on everyone, as opposed to the millennia-long cold Jewish war on everyone, as more people are able to clearly see a hot war than a cold one, and are less likely to be deceived on the question of who specifically is their enemy. Yes, Hamas did attack Israel back in October, but with mostly handheld weapons, as usual, with the most advanced attack tech being a few guys riding one-man gliders. Nuclear-armed Israel, on the other hand, has retaliated with almost all the modern high-tech firepower at its disposal, much of it made by U.S. military contractors, leaving village after village, neighborhood after neighborhood, city after city, nothing but empty shells and ashes. And now the war has spread to Yemen. According to reports uncovered and republished by John Ubeley on the National Alliance Forum, White Biocentrism, quote, the Yemeni armed forces announced Friday a successful drone strike targeting a significant site in Tel Aviv, occupied Palestine, in continuation of their operations in support of Gaza. The operation in question was conducted by the newly developed Yafa drone. Yemeni Armed Forces spokesperson Brigadier General Yahya Sari declared early Friday. The drone is named after the Palestinian city occupied by Israel as part of Greater Tel Aviv. The UAV is designed with the specific aim of evading enemy radar and interception systems, Sari said. The drone reached its target and achieved its operational objectives. The statement emphasized that the Yemeni armed forces now consider the area of Tel Aviv to be a strike zone and a primary target for future operations, close quote. And, according to the Times of Israel, quote, Yemeni's Houthi rebels, who claimed a deadly strike far from their borders inside Israel early Friday, have built up a significant drone arsenal. Since November, the Iran-backed Houthis have carried out dozens of drone and missile attacks against shipping in the Red Sea and the Gulf of Aden, in what they say is an act of solidarity with the Palestinians in Gaza amid the Israel-Hamas war there. It marked a new phase in their operations against Israel, said the Houthis, who have been steadily developing their drone capabilities since 2014, when they seized the Yemeni capital Sana'a in an Iran-backed rebellion, close quote. And the death toll in Gaza itself is going to be a lot worse than official sources are admitting. A compilation of reports on white biocentrism includes the following, quote, a study by the British scientific journal The Lancet, a weekly peer-reviewed general medical journal, predicts that the number of killed during the Israeli war on the Gaza Strip, both directly and indirectly, will exceed 186,000. The journal based this estimate on the consideration that armed conflicts have indirect health effects that extend beyond the direct harm caused by violence. The journal then explained that even if the conflict were to end immediately, many indirect deaths will continue to be recorded in the coming months and years due to causes such as reproductive diseases, infectious diseases, and non-communicable diseases. Additionally, it noted that the total number of deaths is expected to be large given the intensity of this conflict, the devastated healthcare infrastructure, the severe shortage of food, water, and shelter, the inability of the population to move to safe places, and the loss of funding for UNRWA, the UN agency responsible for sheltering displaced civilians. The British Journal emphasized that, in recent conflicts, the number of indirect deaths has ranged from 3 to 15 times the number of direct deaths, adding, if we apply a conservative estimate of 4 indirect deaths for every direct death, we will find that this figure is much higher than the number of direct deaths. Given the more than 37,000, now 39,000 plus, reported deaths in Gaza, it is not surprising to estimate that up to 186,000 or even more deaths could be recorded in Gaza, the British Journal stressed. It added that using the estimated population of the Gaza Strip for 2022, which is 2.375 million people, would translate to 7.9% of the total population in the sector. Close quote. That is roughly equivalent to a war in which 24 million Americans were killed. Even if you ignore the Lancet's report and just use the official figure of around 40,000 killed by Israel, that's still the equivalent of a war in which well over 5 million Americans died, 10 times the number we lost in Vietnam, 1,600 times the number of Americans who died on 9/11. More than 1,000 times the number of Americans who died in the 8-year-long Iraq War. Multiply those figures by 4 or 5 if you want to consider the Lancet's projections. And we may have another, wider, U.S.-involved Middle East war in the making right now. With the old guard of the Democratic Party here in the U.S. still wielding a lot of power, still subservient to Israel, though they have to pay lip service to their increasingly anti-Zionist base, and more dependent than ever on money from Jewish donors, and with the Republicans and conservatives literally slathering at the thought of proving their insane quote-unquote loyalty to Jews in Israel by going on an anti-Iran crusade, and with the Republicans primed to become the ruling Tweedledees for the next few years in Washington, the probability that the U.S. will once again send its soldiers to shed their blood for the Jewish state is rising daily. Even if decent Americans push back, and we should push back, on supporting the Jews' latest Middle Eastern slaughter campaign with our sons and daughters, you can be sure that the already bloated tick called Israel will be bleeding us of our wealth more than ever before. And how they are bleeding us. Counting all tangible and physical and military and intelligence and logistical aid, and counting all special wartime aid since the Hamas attack, how much in dollars do we give to the world's premier parasites? Here's an approximate breakdown of what we give them annually, mind you, every single damned year, which includes military, economic, and special wartime aid. Here's a breakdown of the aid provided. 1. Annual military aid. The U.S. commits approximately $3.8 billion per year under a 10-year Memorandum of Understanding, or MOU, signed in 2016 and continued under Trump and Biden. This includes $3.3 billion in foreign military financing and $500 million for missiles. 2. Special wartime aid. Following the Hamas operation on October 7, 2023, the U.S. drastically ramped up its military support for Israel. This includes quote-unquote emergency weapons shipments, increased troop deployments, and naval support. The Biden administration promised this would total an additional $2 billion in military aid specifically in response to the small weekend Hamas operation, a more than 50% instantaneous increase in aid. And that's only counting what was promised in late 2023. This financial support is just part of the so-called strategic partnership between the U.S. and Israel, focusing heavily on maintaining Israel's qualitative military edge in the region. The above numbers don't even count the quote-unquote emergency allocations that have been given to Israel in the last year. In the past year, the United States, under the guise of these emergencies, approved more than $14 billion in additional aid for Israel. This package included $10.6 billion for military support through the Department of Defense, which covers air and missile defense, industrial base investments, and replenishment of depleted stockpiles for quote-unquote crucial defense systems. Additionally, $3.7 billion was allocated to the State Department to bolster Israel's defense capabilities and enhance security. And that's just what the Times of Israel admits to. Oh, and let's not forget the gifts that are disguised as loans. Loans which are obtained in U.S. financial markets, but which, unlike a loan that you might take out if you're a normie fool, are backed by the U.S. government. So if Israel can't or won't pay the lender, the U.S. government will. Pretty easy to get near unlimited credit that way. And many of these loans are quietly converted to gifts over the years, a fact which goes almost unreported in the Jewish-controlled media here in the U.S. The figures have varied over the years, and it's hard to find the latest numbers, but a very conservative estimate would be another $1 billion a year. So let's add it up. Military aid, special aid, emergency allocations, and giveaway sweetheart loan deals. And I'm sure we've missed a few, but what we did find is some $24 billion per year. At present, there are an estimated 2.25 million families in Israel. Jewish families are some 72% of that number, so there are around 1.62 million Jewish families there. So, America's $24 billion in aid to the Jewish state is the equivalent of a $15,000 per year gift to every Israeli Jewish family. Or think of it as a $150,000 gift to every Jewish family every decade. That's some welfare program, and a lot of it is paid for by near-destitute white American working families, the recipients being members of the most powerful and wealthiest ethnic group on planet Earth, the Jews. It sure pays to be an alien parasite who controls the mass media and both U.S. political parties. Writing your senators and congressmen to try and solve the parasite question is probably pointless. Trying to convince Democratic and Republican leaders that Congress and the Senate are controlled and funded by the Jewish lobby is silly, since they already know that. Nobody knows it better, in fact. And they like it that way just fine. With microscopic exceptions, they are not going to turn on the criminals who made them rich. Unless you can make them afraid. The thing that white Americans need to do is organize racially, become strong and prosperous, have many children, build new communities as the National Alliance is now doing, inculcate a new race-based ethos among those communities, and become powerful enough to punish legislators who don't toe our line, who harm our people, and who fail to help our people. We've got a long way to go before we can make that happen. It will take generations. But it's the only way to go. Potentates and princes and politicians and financiers all need to quake in fear before organized white power. On that basis, we can build a new state. On that basis, we can free our people. On that basis, we can make sure that our people continue to exist for the next 10,000 years. On that basis, we can reach our destiny. If you've got what it takes, including a willingness to work hard and make our generations-long project, your sacred mission. We need you in the National Alliance.